And what a great testimony as he's writing to these believers in this region of Galatia. He said this in Galatians 2 in verse number 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." He says this, "In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Apostle Paul said to the believers in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse number 15, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." I'm so thankful for the privilege of living for Jesus and giving our heart to him. Colossians chapter number 2 this morning, if you have your Bible there with you. Colossians chapter number 2. I will be preaching through the book of Colossians this year. But as you know, if you've been here for any length of time, each year I choose an annual theme for our church. As I seek the Lord for direction, I ask Him and I desire of Him to provide me with direction that will lead me to a theme that will encourage, strengthen, and challenge the members and attenders of Fellowship Baptist Church. It's hard to believe, but it's true nonetheless that this is entering now into our 10th year of being the pastor here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And we came in August of 2011, and each calendar year that we have had the privilege and opportunity to serve as the pastor of this great church, we've had a theme. In 2012, our theme was Standing on His Promises. We sing the song about standing on the promises, and we had as our theme in 2012, Standing on His Promises, and we had the privilege during that particular calendar year to study on Sunday mornings. It was certainly more of a topical study, and we went through and we studied various promises from the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that our God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, as Peter said it, and what a joy it is to be mindful of the promises of God and to claim the promises of God. In 2013, I preached through the book of Esther, and the theme for that year was For Such a Time as This. For Such a Time as This. And as we had the opportunity and privilege to preach through the book of Esther, and we understood that God gives us opportunity and how we must seize that opportunity. In 2014, I preached through the book of John and dealt with that great statement of John the Baptist in John 3 and verse number 30. He must increase. It's all about Jesus. And we understand that the entirety of that thought and that verse is He must increase and I must decrease. And so we taught through, preached through the book of John. In 2015, Boldness to Speak Thy Word. This was part one of the book of Acts, and we studied through the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts in 2015, and we saw how that the disciples, or the apostles there, the early church, how they faced much opposition and much difficulty, and they faced threats and imprisonment and beatings and all sorts of things that they endured, and how they prayed that God would grant them boldness to speak Thy Word. And how we understand even still today how we need the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God to speak the Word of God. In 2016, we finished up the book of Acts. We picked up in Acts 13 and went through the end of the book. And we taught and had our theme that year, I Believe God. How important it is that we would stand as Paul did in Acts 27 and make that declaration, I believe God. And we see throughout the latter part of the book of Acts the way in which the missionary journeys in the church, the gospel went forward. What a blessing. In 2017, Increase Our Faith, another one of those topical type of studies. As we went through the year, the calendar year of 2017, really we focused upon those things that God would give us in His Word that would be, as I often referred to it that year, as faith builders. And how God would increase our faith. The disciples said to the Lord Jesus during His earthly ministry, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And we too understand that it's important that we live by faith. We understand the Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The just shall live by faith. And we're to walk by faith, live by faith. And so we, throughout 2017, focused upon those various truths of the Word of God that would cause us to have our faith increased. In 2018, count your blessings. The psalmist said, "He daily loadeth me with benefits." And I believe that each of us could echo the words of the psalmist and say in our hearts and lives today that He has daily loadeth us with benefits. God has been so good to us. And it's important that we count our blessings. We understand the song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And so often we can find ourselves in a natural state of complaining or murmuring and looking at the circumstances and the adversities that we face, but how we must focus our attention upon counting our blessings. In 2019, be strong in the Lord. And I taught and preached through the book of Ephesians and how important it is that we understand that we're engaged in spiritual warfare, and that spiritual battle continues to rage even today, and how we must put on the whole armor of God, and we must be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I had the privilege of teaching and preaching through the book of Ephesians last year, as I mentioned in the beginning of our service this morning, the book of Hebrews. What a great book. Christ is better. He's superior. Better than what? Better than anything. Better than everything. He's superior. He's better. And we understand that as we studied through the book of Hebrews and had that as our thought, our theme, looking unto Jesus from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and how important it is for us as the people of God to not be focused so much upon the circumstances of life, but to have our eyes upon our Savior, to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we would lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, understanding and knowing with assurance that our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm so thankful for the truth of that theme and how it encouraged and strengthened and challenged me personally last year. And this year, complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. In Colossians 2, in verse number 10, the Apostle Paul, and we're going right in the middle of a discussion that he's having with these believers in Colossae. And the Bible says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Lord willing, and with the help of the Lord, we will study through the book of Colossians this year. We will not start this morning in Colossians 1, but we will go through exegetically through the book of Colossians and study verse by verse. But this morning, we will consider this statement from this verse of Scripture as we will use it for our theme for this calendar year in 2021. We understand that as the Word of God says, you're complete in Him. We've used as our theme, complete in Christ. The Him is very obvious that it's Christ. If you look back in verse number 5, the Bible says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness," notice, "of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." In who? In Christ Jesus the Lord. "Rooted and built up in Him." Who's Him? Jesus Christ. "And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him," Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him," Christ, "which is the head of all principality and power." Complete in Christ. This morning, as we study and kind of share our heart and the theme for this year, I would just ask a few questions by way of delivering this message this morning. And so if you're taking notes, the first question is this: what does it mean to be complete in Him? What does it mean when the Apostle Paul says to these believers in Colossae, "And ye are complete in Him"? When we have as our theme for all of this calendar year, 2021, complete in Christ. When you walk into the sanctuary and you see on the banners, complete in Christ. When you look in your Bible and you have your bookmark and it says complete in Christ. When you look at your church calendar, when you go to our website and you see this thought of complete in Christ, and we ask ourselves this question, what does it mean to be complete in Him? What does it mean to be complete in Christ? Well, we'd have to answer that question by going all the way back to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter number 1, if you take a moment and hold your place there in the book of Colossians and turn back to the book of Genesis, if you will. And obviously on Sunday evenings, I am preaching and teaching through the book of Genesis, and we're made our way to the 17th chapter. And so we've made some progress over the last couple of years studying through the book of Genesis. And here we find in Genesis 1, in verse number 27, the Bible says this, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." We understand the truth of creation. We've spent much time developing the teaching of the Word of God, and we've said often that the truth and the teaching of the of creation is not isolated to the book of Genesis. You find the truth of creation all throughout the Word of God, and we understand that we are created in the image of God. What does that mean? Well, we understand that God is the Trinity. We use that word, the triunity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one, the triunity, or the Trinity, as we would refer to it as. And we'd understand that as man has been made in the image of God, that we, as human beings, we are a trichotomy. And what we mean by that is we are body, soul, and spirit. When God made Adam and God made Eve, He made them in the image of God. They had a body, a soul, and a spirit. They were made perfect. And we find that the Bible tells us, as we would look just a few chapters later in Genesis chapter number 3, that sin entered into the world. We understand that God had given a simple command, and He said to Adam in verse number 16 of Genesis chapter number 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." In Genesis chapter number 3, the serpent, Satan himself, enters the pages of Scripture. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 3 and verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And we understand, I will not take time to go through the entirety of the passage, but the Bible tells us in verse number 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." The Bible says that the eyes of them both were opened, that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, God is not a liar. He's not a man that He should lie. And He said in verse 17 of Genesis 2, that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But we understand, as we follow and trace the steps of the pages of Scripture, that Adam and Eve did not die physically on that particular day. They died spiritually. And we'd understand that the Bible tells us that death entered into the world. And if we leave the pages of Scripture here in Genesis chapter number 3, and we go over to Romans chapter number 5, and we find that the Bible tells us in Romans 5 in verse number 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, at the birth of the children of Adam and Eve and all other human beings that have ever been born upon the face of this earth, apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, have been born with a sin nature. We have still body, soul, and spirit, but we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. The Bible tells us this truth as we look at the book of Ephesians. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter number 2, as Paul is writing to these believers in Ephesus and dealing with this thought of being dead in our trespasses and sins, we'd understand this morning that lost individuals are dead spiritually. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Ephesians 2, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so quicken, that means to make alive. And we understand that as saved people, we've been born again, and therefore we would be complete in Christ. But we'd understand as we look at this truth of Scripture that lost people, if Paul is saying to these folks in Colossae that ye are complete in Him, then we would understand it's possible to be incomplete. Amen? It's a pretty simple thought, a pretty simple truth. But if someone says that that's complete, I have completed the puzzle, I put the last piece in the puzzle, that means it was incomplete until that piece was put in. And as human beings, if we are not saved, we are incomplete. We have body, soul, and our spirit is dead. We are dead in our sins and our trespasses. In fact, it is this very truth that God used to convince and convict my dad of his need for a Savior. It was a man that was sharing the gospel with another co-worker, and he said this: there are a number of people in this earth, there are a number of people that are living, but they are dead, walking around, and they're just waiting to die. And he used this terminology, and he went through this whole thing, and my dad understood at that particular time that he was alive physically, but dead spiritually, and he was going to die a physical death at some point, but of course, he was dead in his trespasses and sins. Now, if we understand this thought of being complete in Him, we'd ask the question, what does it mean to be complete in Him, to be complete in Christ? It means that we'd be born again. Do you remember the words of Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3? And verse number 3 and verse number 7, and I just got it straight what the man said. There are a lot of dead people walking around that are just waiting to die. And that was the exact quote that the man used. Was he witnessing to the co-worker? My dad heard that, a lot of dead people walking around waiting to die, dead spiritually waiting to die a physical death. But Jesus said this to Nicodemus. We know that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse number 3 of John 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then he says in verse number 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The word complete in Colossians 2 in verse number 10, the verse that we're using as our theme verse for this year, if you turn back to that portion of Scripture in the book of Colossians, the word complete means to fill to the full, to cause one to abound. I like this statement or this definition of this word complete: to make complete in every particular, to render perfect. To render perfect. And so we've answered the question, what does it mean to be complete in Him? We then ask this question, number 2, if you're taking notes this morning. Why did Paul tell them, these folks in Colossae, why did he tell them that they were complete in Him? Very simply stated, because they had been born again. Turn back, if you will, to Colossians 1, and notice with me in verse number 2 how Paul would address these folks in Colossae. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae." You understand that in verse number 2 that Paul would refer to these individuals that he's writing to in the book of Colossians, these individuals in the city of Colossae, that they are saints. and faithful brethren in Christ. A saint, as we've mentioned in times gone by, is one who is in Christ, in whom Christ dwells. And you will find that throughout the Scriptures that there are many books of the Bible that are addressed to the saints in Ephesus, the saints here in Colossae. And we find that they, notice as the Bible continues, notice with me in verse number 4, it says this, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints." We read already in verse number 5 of Colossians 2 where the Bible says at the last statement of that verse, "the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And so we find that these recipients of this book, if we were to understand this morning the book of Colossians, is being written to believers, is being written to those that have been born again, those that have been saved. And that is why the Apostle Paul is saying to them in Colossians 2 and verse number 10, "And ye are complete in Him." We understand what it means to be complete in Him, and we understand why Paul would tell them that they are complete in Him is because they've been saved, they've been born again. Back in the book of Ephesians, as we've referenced Ephesians 2 in verse number 1, the fact that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. In Ephesians 2 in verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace." You're saved. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but of the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We understand that there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing a song, "One way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way." And we understand this morning that Jesus Himself proclaimed, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We understand that Peter, as he stands up there in Acts chapter number 4, and as they're being questioned about the man that was healed in Acts chapter number 3, and all the stir and uproar that was taking place because of that great miracle, that Peter stands up and he testifies and he says, "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What is that name? That's the precious name of Jesus. And these believers here in Colossae, they had been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They had been quickened. They had been made alive. And therefore, Paul is saying to them, "Ye are complete in Him." You're complete in Him. Not really a third point, but a question that we'd ask at this point in the message this morning. Are you complete in Him? Have you been born again? Could it be said of you? I mean, would the Apostle Paul... We understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul was the human penman that was used to write the book of Colossians, but really we find that it's the Word of God, and God is saying to these believers that you are complete. Why? Because you're a believer, because you've trusted Christ. To these individuals in Colossae, they're saved, they've been born again. And this morning, are you complete in Christ? Have you been born again? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm not asking if you know about Him. I'm not asking if you know some truth from the Word of God. I'm not asking if you can recite some things and some words and some maybe even quote some verses of Scripture. I'm asking this morning, has there been a time in your life, has there been a day in your life where you understood that you were a sinner, that you were incomplete, that you were dead spiritually, that there was a great price for that sin, and that's death. The second death, as the Bible says, in the lake of fire. You understand that Jesus Christ, because of the love of God, died in your place. He went to that cruel cross. He bled and He died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose in victory, conquering sin, death, and the grave. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There was a time in your life when you said, "I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that there's a penalty for breaking the law of God. I understand that God in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for me. And I place my faith and trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. And you were born again." You may not remember the exact date. I seek to encourage those that God has allowed me to minister to and to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to remember the date in which they trusted Christ, the date in which they were born again. I encourage people in that thought or that way because I was encouraged in that way. And so I remember that it was on August 31st in the year 1997 when I placed my faith and trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. And I'm so thankful that on that day I was made alive. I'm so thankful that on that day I was born again. And I didn't understand at that day, on that moment, I didn't understand all that that meant. But I understand as I read the Scriptures, and I understand that as we look specifically at this truth this morning from this thought in Colossians 2, that I am complete in Him, in Christ. What a joy. What a blessing. This morning, if you say, I'm not complete, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm incomplete. Yes, we've been made body, soul, and spirit, but I've never been born again. I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus saves? We sing about it. We proclaim the message. In fact, as we preached and taught through the book of Hebrews, we're mindful of that truth in Hebrews 7, in verse number 25, where the Bible says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is the Savior of the world. We sang this morning, what a wonderful Savior, and He is. The songwriter said, "He's a wonderful Savior to me." It's another song in our hymnal that we sing. "He's a wonderful Savior to me." And as we think about the truth and the thought of these two great hymns of the faith, the reality is that I can say from a personal perspective that He, Jesus, is a wonderful Savior and that He is my Savior. He's a wonderful Savior to me. This morning, if you can't say that, if you don't have that peace and that confidence, can I tell you this morning that He wants to save you? He loves you. And He wants to save you. And you can be born again today. Would you trust Christ? We've asked two questions. Number one, what does it mean to be complete in Him? Number two, why did Paul tell them, these folks, these individuals in Colossae, that they were complete in Him? Because they had been born again. Finally, this morning, I would ask this question. How should this truth impact you? How should this truth impact the believers in Colossae? Again, as we will throughout this calendar year study through the book of Colossians, beginning in Colossians 1:1 in our next message, and going all the way through the end of the fourth chapter. It's not a very long book, but we will make our way through the book of Colossians in this calendar year. And it will probably take us most of the year to get through the book. But as we find and as we will spend time at a later date studying in great detail the second chapter of the book of Colossians, I want you to notice how the second chapter of the book of Colossians begins. It says this in verse number 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." So Paul reveals to these believers that he's writing to in Colossians 2 and verse number 1 that he has a great conflict for them and for the believers in Laodicea. as we find in verse number 1. And he's not yet seen them. We'll mention that as we study through the book about the relationship between Paul and these believers and so on and so forth. But as we go through and begin to study the second chapter, and I'll just make a couple of statements this morning on understanding how this truth should impact you, how it would impact these believers in Colossae. I want you to understand that Paul is saying to them, as we've mentioned already in verse number 6, notice in Colossians 2 and verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." We've often used this verse of Scripture to say, listen, if you've been born again, if you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, you're to walk in Him. In fact, as we studied through the book of Ephesians a couple of years ago in 2019, we had the opportunity to look at our position in Christ and then how that position in Christ impacts our walk with Him. And, of course, there in the book of Ephesians, there are several different aspects in which Paul addresses the believers in Ephesus about their walk. And here in Colossians, he tells these believers, "You've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Notice what he says in verse 7, "rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And what a great picture of what the Christian life is supposed to look like. That we are rooted and built up in Him. That we are established in the faith. That we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That we're not easily influenced by the false teachers that are so prevalent in the day in which we live. We understand as we would study the book of 2 Timothy, as we'd study the book of 2 Peter, as we'd look through various portions of the New Testament, we'd understand that the Bible reveals to us that there will be false teachers. There are false teachers. And Peter says, just as there were false prophets in the Old Testament, there would be false teachers in the age that we refer to often as the church age. And we see it to be true. We do not have to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We can be this picture that is seen in verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Notice, as ye have been taught, it reminds us of the importance of teaching the Word of God. It reminds us of the importance of discipleship, the Great Commission, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But the Bible tells us that we're to see them saved and see them baptized and then see them discipled. That we would teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28. And as we would consider the importance of discipleship and teaching, that people, the people of God, would be grounded and settled and rooted and built up. But then notice verse number 8. Paul says, "Beware." Now, it's interesting to me, whenever you see a warning label on some product that you purchase, a sign on some road that you're traveling, on some gate that you're seeking to enter, there will be warning signs. "Beware of dogs" is a sign that you may see as you would enter into someone's gate. You ought to take heed to that warning. "Beware, danger ahead as you're driving. There's a curve, there's a this," whatever it might be. "Out west, beware of falling rocks." Many places you can drive out west and rocks will just fall onto the highway. You need to be careful. In the pages of Scripture, God gives us some warnings. Could I tell you this morning that it's important that we take heed to the warnings that God gives us in His Word? And here's where we find, really, the impact of this truth. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Can I tell you, as we note here in this text of Scripture, that these believers were being hit with philosophy and deceit and tradition. They're given this warning in verse number 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through these processes." And we'll study as we deal with the Colossians 2 in greater detail at a future time. We'll discuss some of the things that were prevalent during this particular time in this particular region, some of the false teaching that would be influential, possibly influential in the lives of these individuals. And Paul is warning them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's warning them, and then he's encouraging them. It says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In who? In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, we don't have to look for anywhere else, anything else. In him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the continuation in verse number 10, "Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And so as we understand the warning in verse number 8 and the encouragement in verses 9 and 10, specifically in verse number 10, the thought that we've used for our theme this year, that we are complete in Christ, that you're complete in Him, we would say this, that this truth would impact us. It would give us a peace. It would give us a rest. I'm complete in Him. These philosophies and this vain deceit and these traditions, I don't need to get caught up in those things. I don't need to get twisted up and sideways over those things. No, I understand my position in Christ. I understand that I'm complete in Him. The reality is that lost people, those that are not complete, we said in the beginning of our message that if he's saying you are complete in him, then it's obviously possible to be incomplete, and that would be a lost person. Can I tell you that we have witnessed, we have observed, in fact, some of us even that got saved later in life tried to fill that void with something else because we knew we're incomplete. And we see, we observe people that try to fill that void, that emptiness with something. And they find that nothing ever satisfies. That nothing gives you that completeness. Why? Because the only thing, the only person that satisfies, the only person that can bring that completeness is Christ. It would not work to go back to the illustration that we used in the beginning of the message this morning about that 500-piece puzzle that you get to number 499 and there's one piece missing and you've looked high and low, you've searched everywhere, you cannot find it. It would not work to simply go find a piece from a puzzle in the closet from some other puzzle and try to force it in. No. It's not going to work. You need that piece that specifically goes to that puzzle. In fact, there are times in which our family has set up a table and would work on a puzzle. And there are times in which I would jokingly go by and say to Holly, "Oh, that piece goes right here." And you could try to force it as much as you want. But if it's not the right piece, it's not going to work. And if we could use that simple illustration and example this morning and put it to a spiritual truth that we find here in the book of Colossians, only Jesus satisfies. The only way to be complete is in Christ. You're not going to find completeness in riches, in wealth or fame, in possessions, in position? No. Those things leave man wanting because nothing will satisfy like Jesus. See, this is how God designed it. Remember, we're a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. Because of sin, there's death, and the spirit needs to be quickened. The only way for that to take place is through the blood of Christ. And this morning, as I understand the things that these believers in Colossae would face, and even the things in which believers throughout the ages would face, that we understand this morning our place and our position in Christ. That we'd understand there's nothing else that I need. That I find my acceptance in Him, in Christ. That I find and understand this morning that I am complete in Him. It gives me a peace that passeth all understanding. It gives me a rest that is almost beyond description. This morning, as we think about the subject of peace, we understand that there's only one way to make peace with God. According to Romans 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good for us to have peace with God, but there's only one way to have peace with God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation. And these believers are being encouraged. Ye are complete in Him. Oh, you've made peace with God, and now you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. This morning, this year, in 2021, as we are reminded throughout the year, complete in Him, complete in Christ, as we sing the theme song, complete in Thee, that we'd understand that our identity and our acceptance is in Christ. Many times in life, people seek to describe themselves, to identify themselves. And I wonder, as the people of God, you know, the best way for us to understand our identity, first and foremost, is that we are children of God. I'm a child of the King, the songwriter said. And what a joy to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And this morning, if you've been saved, I would say to you that you are complete in Him. But I would challenge you this morning to allow that truth to impact how you live daily. To understand that your acceptance, that your identity is not found in people, positions, possessions, wealth, status. No, I'm complete in Him. And I can have a peace and a rest because I understand my acceptance in Christ. That we would not be influenced by philosophy, vain deceit, tradition, the rudiments of the world, as the Bible says there in verse number 8. That we would be rooted and built up in Him, understanding that we're complete in Him. This morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would say to you this morning that today is the day of salvation. That's what Paul said. We understand that our life is but a vapor. We understand the wise man said in Proverbs that we know not what a day would bring forth. Paul said today is the day of salvation. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the same thought of this message this morning, I would say to you that you're incomplete. You need to be saved. And if you would trust Christ as your Savior today, you would be complete in Him. Complete in Christ. What a joy, what a blessing. I look forward with great excitement and anticipation to preaching and teaching through the book of Colossians this year. I trust that God would use the study through this great book to encourage, strengthen, and challenge each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You so much for the Word of God and for the truth contained therein. We thank You that You have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We thank You that as believers, as the children of God, that we can understand that we are complete in Thee. God, I pray that this Bible truth would have a profound impact on every believer within our congregation. Father, I pray that if there be one under the sound of my voice that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would convict them of their sin, of Christ's righteousness, and of judgment to come. I pray, God, that they would get it settled and then understand that because of their salvation, they too would be complete in Christ. Would you have your will and way over these next few moments of invitation? Work as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.